Welcome to Beyond a Parent, the podcast for Christians seeking clarity for parenting in a confusing world. My name is Jeremy Autry.
I am Chuck Mead, and we are continuing this kind of three-part series on transitions. This is the time of the school year that we're currently in. Every year we notice this is, out of all your adolescent years, there are three key moments that bring the most amount of change to your life. And so last time we talked about the transition to kindergarten. This week we're going to be talking about the transition to middle school. Middle school.
I literally think, looking back, middle school was the toughest time in my entire life.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I can see that too. Like, thinking back, if you were to really go back and think, what was middle school like for me? Unless you were like this super popular kid. Me and Jeremy were not popular in middle school. No, it was just not great. And so when your kid's getting into that season, we as parents are already past that season. And so sometimes it's hard for us to realize what it's like. But even if your kid is further on through middle school, say they're not like starting sixth grade, this is still important things that we can talk about. So please don't tune us out if your kid is older than that. But Jeremy, what is happening in the life of a kid when they are entering middle school?
You know, it's big changes. The transition from elementary school to middle school is significant. You know, like there are changes in their body. There's changes in the way they think. There's changes in the way they interact with their peers. All of that's happening at the same time. Expectations are changed. School is harder. Transition from classes, at least that's how it is here, happens more. And it's like the gateway into a whole new world. And sometimes as parents, if we're not careful, we forget that.
And so for us, when we're talking about middle school, for us, that is 6th through 8th grade. And so I know everyone's in different districts and things like that are unique. Like growing up for me, Jeremy, elementary school went up to 6th grade. He had what was junior high for him in 8th grade.
Same thing for me. But both 80s kids.
Yeah, we are. And so I'm just thinking that some have kind of transitioned to what we're familiar with, which is 6th grade, 6th through 8th being together. In our student ministry, 6th through 12th are together in the youth group, but obviously we have separate classes where they're not always in the same environment as high schoolers. But as we're thinking about this new transition, this is really a time when kids are, they might not use the term, what's my identity, but they start asking these questions internally. Who am I? Who do I belong to? What would you say about those kind of questions?
They're even asking, who am I? Who do I want to be? How do I want to present myself to others? If we're not careful, that's even where they're learning. Here's the mask that I'll put on. Here's the clique that I'll try to fit into, because mm-hmm. there is a, at that stage, there's a lot of trying to figure out what your identity is and what your crowd is, who your people are, what your tribe is.
And so we're seeing this attitude of new independence in kids in this age group. But that doesn't mean we as parents should step back spiritually, but our influence does shift. Now, I see this, Jeremy, in from my position and seeing new middle schoolers come in each year. You've gone through this with three of your kids transitioning into middle school. How does your influence shift from when they're in elementary school to now when they're in middle school?
You know, it's none of it is just this clean flip of the switch, you know, rarely. But with parenting, you're looking for opportunities for them to be more independent. And as that increases, you're becoming more of an instructor and less of demanding. You're becoming more of an, hey, here's what you should be considering while you're making these decisions, instead of just forcing the decisions on them in different areas of their life. You know, you're instead of making demands, you're making suggestions, and then you're following up and figuring out how that looks. So like, instead of saying, okay, when you get home from school, you have to do your homework before you do whatever, maybe you allow more freedom in that area and then discuss how things went when they made those decisions. So because middle school is a natural time that they're wanting to be able to make more decisions for themselves about what they wear, about what they watch, about what they listen to, about who they hang out with. It can also be an appropriate time for you to become a guide instead of, you know, the taskmaster saying this is how it has to be.
And I think, too, you're probably, I would imagine, just in my interactions with middle schoolers, do you feel like you're having to answer more of the why questions? Like, I know kids are always asking why earlier, but I feel like there's more explanation that maybe is offered to middle schoolers. Hey, yeah, we're doing this, but here's why.
Yeah, that's necessary. It's time for that. It's time for, I keep thinking of dumb examples, but it's time to make sure your kid understands why we brush our teeth twice a day and why we need to schedule time to do our homework and why it's important to set up the pattern of spending time with God every morning. Instead of me just saying, this is what's set in stone, trying to help them understand. So even the things that we're not giving them the freedom of some independence on, it's appropriate for us to make sure that they understand the whys behind that. You right. know, it's complicated and some humility is needed from the parent because it's much easier to just say, do this, or this is how we're going to do it, and not offer up an explanation. But you're not actually helping your kid make that decision as an adult if you're not helping them understand why we're making that decision when they're in middle school. You're doing the opposite. You're enticing them. They're looking forward to the day that they don't have to be under your rule and they can start making a different decision.
Yeah.
I like getting a laugh out of kids. So there's a lot of times in children's ministry that I'm talking to kids and I'm like, hey, once you're an adult, you can eat whatever you want for dinner. I had Swedish fish for dinner last night and there's nobody that can tell me that I can't do that. And it's a joke and hopefully kids get that I'm just joking around. And actually, there are nights that I have Swedish fish for dinner. But my point is, as a parent, if we're not careful, if we're just making the rules without discussing the whys behind it, then we're just making our kids sit back waiting for the time that they can eat Swedish fish for dinner instead of making healthy choices. So same thing's true with our spiritual habits, the way we interact with people, the way we handle our responsibilities. This middle school age is the time to talk through that. And there's also all these gray areas that become more complicated that we can't give, hey, here's the clear-cut way you better handle this. And they're going to be out there on their own in the real world. And we've got to have some discussion about the decisions that they're going to be able to make on their own. And then we have to be open to discussion later about, hey, I made this choice. Here's how it played out. It's not the outcome I had hoped for. Dad, what would have been a better choice here? Mom, how did I mess up? Or, hey, you told me this, but it didn't play out like you said. And the dream is that we've got this open communication with our kids so we can get down and dirty with the real working out of what we've been trying to teach them.
And I think, too, when you're having these conversations and explaining the why, they're also going to see that there are things that your family does differently than others. And that even more as they compare themselves and what your family does to others, even when it comes down to, hey, whatever your rules are for phones and technology and things you let your family do that others do or things that other families don't do that you as a family do, whatever those things may come about and whatever that looks like, it's going to be a very important for us to be able to give an answer to our kids, especially while they're in middle school. Hey, here's the reason for the decision.
Yeah, because if not, you're not, Proverbs 22:6, the idea of training up a child in the way he should go, it's not just saying this is what you have to do. It's a discussion about, hey, here, it's a training, it's a teaching, it's, hey, here's why we do what we do, you know? And at this age, sometimes I remember having these conversations and saying, this may not be how you choose to live life as an adult.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to teach you this is what I think is the best way and show you the outcome of that.
Yeah.
And so that's actual hands-on in the trenches training that especially as we're going into middle school, kind of takes a different face.
It's also this time when they are having this big transition, whether they're in school or student ministry, where they're going from being the top on the totem pole in fifth grade, the oldest in their schools, to now they are all of a sudden all the way at the bottom end of the totem pole.
It is crazy how our society just flips that over. You know what I mean? Like there's no gradual, it's just, you know, you're the big dog to you're the little puppy.
And that
immediately.
All that goes away when you're an adult. You know, like yeah. You have these transitions. Like the next one we're going to talk about is the transition into college. But after that, we don't realize what that's like in 1 week for something.
I mean, we do have the, hey, I just started a new job. Hey, I just went to a new church. Hey, I'm just joined this new class or this new group. Or we do have the experience of being the new person, but it's not to the same degree of, hey, I'm the new sixth grader hanging out with these eighth graders. But last year I was the fifth grader hanging out with the kindergartners.
Right, right. And so our kids are obviously middle schoolers. Incoming sixth graders are going to need humility. They're going to feel the awkwardness of being the youngest. But at the same time, we as parents in this specific time are going to need humility by accepting that our kids may not want to interact with us as much as they once did. Our influence is not gone in that moment.
Yeah, this might be the time in your kid's life when they are not as comfortable or happy to be seen with you, when they would rather, you know, there's all the jokes about you don't have to drop me off at the front door. You can drop me off on the corner and I'll walk. And if we're not careful, we can feel
slighted.
Oh, good word. But those things are natural, you know, and it's definitely worth talking through. There's some training that can happen there. But also there's some training that needs to go on with us, you know, and some humility and some releasing.
So Jeremy, how would you encourage parents to understand that their kid is no longer a child?
There's a pitfall here as we move into middle school and adolescence. And sometimes we can forget what it was like to be 12 years old and what was already going on in our life. And studies show that it's actually happening even earlier, you know, that kids are transitioning into that that new adolescence period. And the things that we think won't happen until they're in ninth grade or maybe even graduated from high school, some of those things are happening now. The struggle with feeling like they fit in, the obsession with their appearance, the worry about their body type, the willingness to change the way they talk and think and act and dress to fit in with other people. A lot of times kids get in their first real fight, their first real trouble at school. They have their first romantic relationship. All those things are happening in these times. A lot of times this is this period of middle school is when someone tries alcohol for the first time, tries cigarettes for the first time, gets high for the first time, has a sexual encounter for the first time. And if we're not careful, we're still looking at our kids like they're in third grade because in our mind, you know, this is still my kid. I remember it feels like it was last week, you know, that he was eating goldfish and drinking juice out of a box and everything was safe and easy. And we have a hard time letting our kid's identity transition in our own mind. And there's a danger there because our kids need some help navigating and thinking through all of those things. But if we don't embrace the fact that they're there, we could miss that strategic moment to address it.
And so we have to understand that these transitions come earlier than we think. And so the complications of these social interactions, they come in middle school. So in other words, have conversations about all of these things as early as you can before they're even in middle school. But if they're already in middle school and you haven't had those conversations, have them as soon as you can.
And, you know, it's tough because middle school is also the time that kids start spending a bulk of their time in their room on their devices, and or out with their friends. And if we're not careful, there's less opportunity for this open communication, mm-hmm. you know, and it has to be a drive from us to check in, know what's going on, be there to talk through these things with our kid. And some of it's going to be awkward. You know, there has to be some conversations that are awkward for you because your kid needs a parent to talk through, you know, mm-hmm. The beginning of romantic interest. We can't just throw our kids out to figure all that out on their own. We have to be there to talk through it. And sometimes that's awkward. And the drive to fit in and to have your people, that's a lot for an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old to figure out, and they need some help navigating that.
Yeah.
But if we're not careful, that moment passes us by. They figure it out from themselves or their peers, and then those patterns are already set by the time they get to high school.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I once heard someone describe middle school, and they were saying that it's the time that we put these young teens in a building together to learn from each other. And there's some value to that, but there's also some real danger in the number one teacher for your kid being their peers. I'm not talking about math or social studies. I'm talking about social interaction and self-worth and self-value and fitting in.
Right.
And we don't want them just learning that from each other.
Right. And so this is the years, especially when they're having so many outside influence trying to tell them who they are, trying to define them. This is also the time of their life where they're busier than they ever have been. There's going to be new things added to the calendar. So that even more is a reminder for us as parents when we need to take Deuteronomy 6 verses 6 and 7, and we need to emphasize and prioritize spiritual training, spiritual development in our homes, even if that just looks like check-ins, whatever that might look like, spiritual conversations on a Sunday at lunch after a morning service, whatever it looks like. We want to teach our kids to start taking part in spiritual disciplines on their own. They're able to handle more responsibility so they can also take more ownership of their faith.
Mentor of mine said that people don't do what you expect, they do what you inspect. So the concept being, we want to encourage our kids to have their own spiritual disciplines, and that they're reading the Bible, and whatever that looks like for your kid and your family, they're spending time with God and growing closer to Him and understanding His Word more. But if we're not careful to check in on that, sometimes it's not really happening, even if it looks like it's happening. So there's a real value in discussing, hey, tell me about not just what you heard the preacher preach, but what was your quiet time like Tuesday morning? You know, this morning when you spent time with God, what was that like? What are you reading? How is that impacting your life? You know, if there's so many different ways this could look for different families, but whatever is going on in your family. And I also think this is a time that we give our kids a lot of freedom, but not in these areas. Mm-hmm. We show the importance of God and His Word by emphasizing it and making real expectations. The word demand is a little scary, but that's kind of what I'm saying, that we say this has to happen, whatever that looks like. You have to be spending time in God's Word and then following up on those expectations.
And so with all of those spiritual disciplines, this is when we're really going to talk about church participation, because here's where we start to see, and Jeremy and I talk about this a lot, because in getting kids and students to come to an event or even to a Sunday night, we use different things. Whereas kids, they're going to be coming more for, hey, we've got this cool game or this activity we are going to do. And while activities are still important, what I'm learning more with middle and high school is that they are like, those things are good and exciting to them, but more than anything, they are coming because they want to hang out with their friends.
Yeah.
That's when their relationships become more and more and more of a priority. And so because of that, this is when it's very important that we do everything we can as parents to help our kids find their core community in the church, in the people of God.
Yeah. There's a real danger in downplaying the importance of church attendance. There's so many things pulling on them, and to be in on the team or in the band or whatever, you know, all the extracurriculars that become very important at this age, especially as parents are already thinking towards college. And I get it, but there's a real danger in downplaying church attendance because, well, first of all, the opportunity to worship corporately, the opportunity to learn about God, these things are crucial to our own spiritual growth and health. And so your kid needs that too. But we're also teaching them, hey, this group that you're with in this sport or in band or in this club or whatever it is that you're doing with your time instead of being at church, this is who we want to rub off on you and for you to spend time with and build relationships with. And don't mishear me. I'm not saying that your kids shouldn't have lost friends. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have relationships on the team that they play on or the band they play in. But we also want to make sure there is a core of Christian brothers and sisters impacting our kids because their peers are influencing them in a strong way at this age. And we don't want to change that. We want to make sure they have healthy peers.
The bond, yes, and the bond you have with the church is strongest. And out of all those other things mentioned, it's the one thing that if they live in the same area will never change. If their closest friends are the band, the day's going to come, they're not in band anymore.
Yeah, very few adults play the tuba.
Yes. If you do,
rock on.
Power to you. That's awesome. But if your closest friends are centered on a ball team, sorry, once you graduate, you can't do rec anymore. Maybe you could. Is that something some people do?
There are. I know an adult who plays on an adult soccer league.
There you go.
And it's a rec league. Yes. It's, not me. My back hurts just sitting in this chair.
That's okay. If you can do that, great. But your team's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same as school. You graduate. And so when we have all of our relations tied up here, here's one thing that doesn't change. If you stay in one church, it is still the same people. Now, youth group, you graduate from youth group or student ministry.
That's next week.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're still in the same church community. You have those relationships. And by the way, it's not just the peers, but involving your kids in student ministry or in the ministries of your church, it also gives them mentors who reinforce biblical values, who are discipling them. And the whole point of that, too, is to develop discipleship relationships that continue after they graduate. So what we see is, according to research, parents are still the number one spiritual influence in their kids, but those mentors are a big deal. So prioritize church involvement.
Yeah. And then follow up on that. Make sure your kids listening actively. They're worshiping. They're trying to get something out of the sermon. Talk to them about, and this helps reinforce it, even if you are listening well and trying to learn from the Sunday school lesson or the sermon, rehearsing it and explaining what you learned and what was taught on helps that seal in your heart. So check in with your kid, find out what's going on in youth group, what they learned, how that's going to impact their life, or check in later. Hey, did that work? How's that going? Be conscious and present.
Encourage them to give it time. So I know there's a lot of excitement when people first get into student ministry, and then there's others who are terrified of it and they don't maybe have good connections in the church, and they'll go for one Sunday and then just automatically decide they hate it. And if we're not careful, we're not encouraging them, hey, stick with this, look for opportunities to still go to whatever the weekly programming is, but also other special events where they can form deeper relationships with students and don't quickly give up on it when it's hard. We don't do that for school.
Yeah.
We don't do that for other things that are hard. There are non-negotiables, but I think it's really easy when our kids are transitioning to something uncomfortable, they don't have deep connections, and we feel for our kids. We want them to be comfortable and have experienced community from the very beginning, but sometimes that takes time to establish over a pattern of regular attendance and involvement.
Right. Yeah. So it's very important that we give church participation and attendance the respect and value it deserves. And there's a lot of things that we force our kids to do, even if it's not their favorite. And it's okay that attending church and being in the youth group isn't always their favorite thing to do. It's okay if they would rather be watching football or whatever, you know, at home hanging out. But that doesn't mean we just acquiesce to that.
Mm-hmm. So encourage them to be involved, but then also to serve, to take ownership of their faith, and just remind them the importance of this is where they belong and this is their church community.
And there's not everybody fits into every group, and that's not necessarily bad or wrong or shows who the bad guy is or whatever, but there is a place for you, your family, and your kid in your church. And there could be some extra work you need to do to help them find that and to find their place and to find their people, their tribe, their group that they're comfortable with, and their place to serve. It might not just be obvious. It might take some time and some digging and some focus and some prayer and some investment from other leaders in your church, but don't give up easily. Focus on making sure your kid understands and feels like they belong and sees that they're part of the body of Christ.
So this is a crucial time in your kid's life, and it's messy. It is not always fun. You just think back to your middle school years and you'll see. But I always tell, as I tell our workers and parents, is as I have to remind myself, when you are increasingly losing your patience with your middle schoolers, because of something crazy they did, ask the Lord to remind you what you were like at that age.
Yeah, yeah. And there's going to be stuff that as an adult, you're going to think is, this isn't important. This is no big deal. Why are you so upset about this? But if you could go back and remember how big of a deal it was to you, then you could show some empathy.
And recall, whether you were saved at a young age or came to faith later in life, God is using these years, as uncomfortable and awkward as they are in your kid's life, He is shaping their faith. My middle school years were rough, but I was a follower of Jesus, and God used some of those moments through my church, through learning from my own mistakes, and used it to shape faith in me. And God's doing the same with your kids. So give them space to grow, but keep being that presence in their life that is consistently pointing them to Christ and showing them love.
Can I just say as a side note, this isn't in any of our notes or anything. My middle school years were rough too, and I was lost, and I made horrible decisions, and I was a terrible kid, and I gave my parents a fit. I had to be every teacher's worst nightmare. I'm not just saying that. This isn't me trying to be funny. This is reality. I was a rough kid. In middle school, I had trouble with the law. I had trouble in school. It was a rough time, and I'm past that now, and God is big. And so whatever's going on in your kid's life, don't be discouraged by that.
Yeah.
I may have shared this before, but my mom came to hear me preach here. And somebody said, I bet you always knew Jeremy was going to be a pastor. And my mom said, of all of my kids, I thought Jeremy was the one most likely to end up in prison. I guess what I'm saying is, it's okay that your middle schooler doesn't have everything together. It's okay that you don't have everything together. This isn't the end. That God is at work in them and at work in you. And even during the hard stuff, we can look up and trust that our God is at work, and that this isn't the end.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for listening to Beyond a Parent. Remember, parenting is beyond us, but in Christ, we have all that we need for this journey.
Thanks, guys.